Good afternoon. You're listening to Jazz 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's Jazz Station. This is Jay Edwards with Jazz Tones, and my special guest today is Dr. Lonnie Smith. And we're going to talk about not only his career, but his brand new release, All in My Mind, off of Blue Note. I've been familiar with Dr. Smith for quite some time, going all the way back when, as I transcend time and space, and we've had discussions on some of the great artists, not only that he has played with, but the ones that he has admired and what has inspired him. He originally comes from Buffalo, New York. I don't know why he stayed in that snow so long, but he moved to Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And most of all, he continues the tradition of blues, jazz, and spirituality with African music. His brand new release is All in My Mind. That first track, All is called Juju, and anybody who understands what Juju is, it has an African root, and he has always some great artists playing with him. Jonathan Kressberg on guitar, Jonathan Blake on drums, Joe Dyson on drums on track 3, and Alicia Olatuja on vocals. These are all stars, and not only that, Jonathan Blake is John Blake Jr.'s son, who was a very good friend of mine. John Blake Sr. Jr. was a great violinist. But without any further ado, I'd like to talk to Lonnie Smith about his musical career and a great gentleman that he started off career with, George Benson. George Benson played with you earlier before he went to Jack McDuff, right?
Oh, boy, we had a fun. That's where I met him, with Jack. And I remember sitting in, and once I sat in, he said, "Hey, man, let's get a group, you know." So I said, "Okay," because I love this plan. And so I gave him my number. I was playing with another group, Sammy Bryant Group, out of Ohio. And we used to play behind a lot of Motown groups that would come through, you know, like Dionne Warwick, Gladys Knight, The Impressions, and all of that.
You played with all those groups?
Yeah, they would come through and we would play, go through little towns and things, you know.
Mm. It's interesting because you've been able to touch a lot of the great musicians' lives that are even still alive today, and you have a major influence an organ, and I've always said to you, as of recently, you're the last of the last. That's the name of your next tune, right? The last of the last. There's not many great organ players that came out of that era, because Charles Erlin has passed, Jimmy Smith has passed, John Patton has passed, and you continue the tradition of bringing blues in, which is the root of all the music.
Oh, yeah.
You know. What inspires you to continue to keep it moving, man?
Well, the thing about it is, it's like, see, playing music is like, it's something that we didn't choose to do. I didn't choose it. It chose me. And you have to tell your story. You've been out there, so you got a lot to say. A lot to say.
Yeah. Well, you have more than enough to say because your experience alone has brought a definite, indelible footprint globally. And that's something I'd like to discuss with you. Your reception in America as compared when you go to Europe and other countries, and the type of music that you evoke to the spirits of the people that you play for.
It's a little quite different when you go to Europe. When you go to Europe, you got people who've been watching and listening to you for years. And the thing about, because you're going to different countries, you might go to Alaska or something, and I'm walking down the street in Alaska and they're sitting there, "Hi, Dr. Smith." You know, I wonder how he know me. You know, but they know, everybody knows about you. Like you go to Japan and things, they know more about you than you know about them. You know, so it's quite a trip when you go into all those different countries And you see, I had in Hong Kong, I had them, and Japan, I had them scatting and everything. You know, the vowels don't quite fit sometimes, but they were having a ball, you know.
Well, you know, it's interesting, the type of music that you've been playing over the years, it really grabs the spirit and the soul of people. I mean, a lot of people aren't happy, but you bring music that uplifts that spirit and makes a difference. It was funny, I played you Sunday, I opened up my show Sunday with you, and then I got a call from obviously Miss Marie to say that you were in town. And I mean, and so I don't believe in coincidence. So it was evident because you uplifted me. And then with a name like Juju, why did you select Juju on that first track?
Well, I love Wayne. I love his music, and I love, you know, because he writes some beautiful songs.
Wayne Shorter, yeah.
Yes. And it seemed perfect for what we were doing at that time, you know.
You also, the next one was Devika?
Devika, yeah.
Devika, and that was written by David Hubbard and Sabrina Grant.
Yeah.
Why did you choose that one?
That song, Dave and I met, he was from Baltimore. He passed.
Mm-hmm.
I met him and another young fellow, Eddie Henderson, trumpet player.
Oh, yeah, I know Eddie, yes.
Yeah, they were playing. I say, sounds pretty good. So I got his number. And he came to New York, and he started playing with me. I was looking for horn players. And, you know, I had listened to Michael Brecker, Sonny Fortune, you know, a few, and Dave Hubbard. And I liked Dave because he played well with me, you know. And the thing about it, he was a beautiful person, you know. Also, he wrote that song, and I always loved this song. We used to play it all the time.
All the time, right.
Mm-hmm.
50 Ways to Leave Your Lover. Paul Simon.
Uh-oh.
50 Ways to Leave Your Lover.
I think we could come up with a few more.
Was it 50 women or just 50 ways?
Right. That particular song, my guitarist, Jonathan Kreisberg, had mentioned that song. I say, okay, because he say, you know, like, a lot of guys tell me a lot of times, they say, you're like this. I think you play that. So, you know, I say, okay. I listen to it. I say, oh yeah, I can do that because, like, when you're playing a tune, I play a song because I love the song. It's not to make a hit. It's something that's inside of me, and that means more to me than anything because I really play to touch the people. For sure.
Oh, well, there's no question about that. This is an unusual next selection, number 4. Next year will be the 100th birthday of Tad Dameron. This is On a Misty Night.
Love that song.
Love it.
I play that song.
Tad Dameron, a lot of people don't realize how fantastic this man is.
Yes, for sure.
I mean, at 50, I mean, you have selected songs here that you really took the time out to listen to their music. And Tad Dameron is on top for me.
Oh, he's great.
Hey, great. Alhambra was written by you, Dr. Smith.
Mm-mm.
And you wrote that song.
Yes, I did. I don't know what I was thinking of. But the thing of what I loved about it, it's like, I love to take people with me when I play every step of the way because they're there, but I want them to go on that journey with me at that moment. So it's very important because they didn't go to school for music, but I try to take them there even if they don't like particularly care for jazz or particularly care for this. I'm going to take you there easy, step by step, so you can understand what's going on.
You know, you're a true teacher when it comes to listenership. You really uplift the email for people who have not heard you before and for those who have heard you and understand how much you enhance their lives, especially on All My In My Mind. Name of the track and the release, everything is in people's mind, but give me your interpretation.
I wrote that song, I meant it. When I wrote that song, it's years ago. I recorded it before. I recorded that. It sounded entirely different. And it had a little swing to it. It was a little different, you know. And I love that song because of the lyrics. It talks about what's going on in the world. And I feel that. I always like to do songs like that, you know.
Well, I mean, it is all in my mind.
Tell a story.
No, you tell a story instrumentally like a vocalist would lyrically. Your phrasing is beyond category, no question. And you continually reinvent yourself. I don't know how you do it, but the universe is definitely on your side.
Oh, what do you say? You remember that old movie called Dorian Gray?
Dorian Gray, right. Up Jump Spring, Freddie Hubbard tune. Mm. You know, that's a popular tune, lyrically and instrumentally.
Beautiful tune.
Oh, it's a beautiful tune, man. And, you know, I always, when your previous one, Spiral, and each time you come with a release, it's with a different message. Mm-hmm. You know, and I truly believe you improvise, and you can tell me if I'm in error, on the organ at that time, at the recording.
Yes. You got it. And I like that you got it, because, like, a lot of people don't understand. It's like, I do not practice what I'm going to play. I do not, like, when I'm soloing and things like that. You know, cats, they practice, and they have little things, rudiments that they do, you know. They'll practice that, and then they'll play that. I can't do that because my mind won't let me do that. It's because I couldn't do it again if I wanted to. So, like, at that moment, you have, like, two or three ideas at that moment, so you want to play it. So it's like you might take this way, but then you say, I decide to go this way. I might take the wrong trip, the long trip, or whichever. It's the trip that I want to take. Then I say, oh, and then you meet some, you see? Like I was saying, I want to take the people on the trip that I'm doing. So at that moment, they can feel what I feel. It's like this cane here, right? It's like, oh, see, I want that. I want that in the music.
Yeah.
I want that.
Sudden improvisation is one of your signatures that I've noticed. And you scat spontaneously. You work with artists that connect directly and have synchronicity with you. Or you don't work with them.
Oh. Well, you have different, you know. Some do it work with you. And you try to guide them where you want to go, you know, a little bit. You know, try to keep her with you, what you're trying to do at that moment. Because the guys will tell you themselves, it will never, ever be the same. They are saying, where is he going now? What is it? They have to stay alert because I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
And that's interesting because you take him on a journey and you
they
navigate.
They go on a journey with him.
You navigate as you go along.
Yeah, exactly. It can't be like, well, you did it this way. We were in the studio, Fat Ed, David Newman, and Lee Morgan. We were doing, Sunshine Silverman, one of those tunes. And we were playing, well, I was doing an original composition. And I was telling them how that I wanted a song because I don't write music. I compose, arrange, but I don't read music. So I'm humming the tune and playing and humming it. So they're going to play the song. So Rudy Van Gelder.
Rudy Van Gelder, New Jersey, Inglewood, New Jersey.
Greatest yeah. engineer.
Right.
Right. So we're out there, and they say, hit it. I hit it. It wasn't like that, what I told them to play. So stopped the tape for a minute, and we started again. Wasn't like I told them to play this. But we played this every time. I would change it. So they say, we better write this down because you're going to change. You keep changing. I can't help it. I cannot help it.
That's interesting because you know, live, you'll only come to the melody once or twice. You're gone.
I'm gone. So.
You're gone. You know, that's it. But you've attracted. One thing I've noticed, when we were coming into the studio, Christopher from the communications department, you've attracted young people to you. You've crossed, you're coming straight across to generations. Now, you've been playing, what, for 40 years, 50
over
years?
50 years.
50 years.
Over 50, yeah.
Over 50 years. Now you have a young audience. That young audience is attracted to what you do.
Amazing.
It's amazing, isn't it?
That's amazing because the rappers and everything are sampling the music, and it's like, what? So they're taking me on a journey there also because, you know, like they always ask jazz musicians, what do you think about them doing this? Or I love it because that's what they hear. It's not for me to, because see, all music is valuable. It has, I love classical, jazz, pop, R&B, rock, metal. Everyone has something to say. If they're good, but if it's just junk, then that's something different. It's for their ears only. You know, so I don't particularly care for junk, but if they telling a story, I love it.
For their ears only, if it's junk. But I think for our ears, for those who uplift you continually as you go and take us on your musical journey, that makes a major difference. Because each time I hear you, whether live or recorded, there's a journey that you have plotted and navigated that helped people interpret your music and what's in your spirit. And being that you're not redundant, in opening or closing,
no,
you make a difference, you know. And I think that young people really get it because of the maturity over the years in music, and you've watched the music scene change. What do you think of the music of today as compared when you started?
Good question. I like the music that they're playing today, but I miss some of the things that I don't hear as much because they wasn't there. So what they hear is their life today. Instead of, take for instance, you know, you hear a player that can really play, rip, he has gotten that music from somebody of the day because they play on a lot of notes and different things. So that's what he hears. But he has to really learn it and get it from inside. You got to go back where it came from, the root of it all. You know, because what happens, the music gets watered down. And you see, so it's like you're playing, but it's missing the elements that make it grow even, you know.
Well, you're able to transfer the music from the vintage to the nouveau.
Mm-hmm.
So as you travel step by step, I think young people listen to the fact that you incorporated in your repertoire as you project it to the audience. And that makes a major difference because I pick up on you. A lot of people know Wayne Shorter, but when you come in with Juju and you put your twist on it, it's different, especially on a popular tune like 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover. By it's Paul Simon.
Totally over here.
And it's totally.
Yeah.
That's a pop tune. It's totally on the other side. So that makes a difference in terms of what you're able to do. In closing, what would you like to say to your audience that the future holds for your music?
I think they're going to hear a lot of different stuff. A lot of different music that they can relate to, because I'm into giving people, just like I said, a journey in the music world and to hold them, because it's a lot of things they hear, songs they hear. Some people say they don't like this, they don't like jazz, they don't like that, they don't like, that's because it's a food. Just like you go get some food, say, I don't like macaroni or cheese, macaroni cheese or chicken the way they fix. I say that the reason you don't like it, because it's who's fixing it, who's cooking it. You know what I'm saying? Because some people can't, you know, so.
Yeah, that's true. It's a matter of taste.
A taste.
Bon appetit.
And like everybody got different. They say, yeah, oh, you ought to go there. Good food, great food. And I go there and I say, not my taste.
Not your taste.
Not my taste. It doesn't mean that it's not good. It just means it's not my taste.
How would you like to be remembered?
Remembered as someone who has given what I'm here for. I'm here to give the message and make people happy and feel good. And that's what I pray every day, to make people feel good and enjoy the music that I share. When I leave, it still lives.
You know, I'd like to thank you for gracing the audience of WCLK and my show, Jazz Tones. Obviously, I've been familiar with you and your music for quite some time, but the thing that I really appreciate and honor you the most is that you don't stop. You continue to encourage us to go beyond the borders. You continue to encourage young people to listen not only to what they play, but understand the root of the music. And that makes a difference. I suggest to thank you, Lonnie, once again for all the giggles that you give me, all the music that you give me, and also bringing the reality of life and uplifting our spirits each and every day. Thank you very much, Dr. Lonnie Smith.
Oh, thank you. You hit it right, because you said the key word is like the laughter, the giggle, the crying. It's in there.
It's in there.
Play it. If you feel that way, play it. Don't fight against it. Just play it.
You keep the blues alive, my brother.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.